Welcome to Local Music Somewhere, where your voice is always heard on our Beats radio and media streaming service for today's hot and trending topics. Now let's get into it.
Welcome to Local Music Somewhere here at rbeats.com. We're here in the rbeats studio today. I have a special guest, and you hear the term the hardest working person in show business, and I would say that this absolutely applies to this person. They are a concert promoter, an open mic host. They are a festival creator, and they're a musical instructor. And I just can't say enough good about this person. I have so much respect for him. Welcome to rbeats, John Tosco.
Thank you, Terry. Happy to be here.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad I finally got you, because I know with you, with your schedule, that was going to be a challenge. But I want to tell you how we met, because I know how we met, but I don't know if you know how I actually heard of you. So I went to this music event somewhere in, I guess it was Noda, and I met this person named Mindy, and she started following stuff that I do, and she saw that I was helping an artist from a contest that we had, and she's like, you need to get them with this Tosco music party. I was like, what are you talking about? It's just like a party where people show up. She said, no, this is this guy named John Tosco, and he holds this event. So she kept messaging me about you and what you did, and I was like, okay, maybe I need to meet this Tosco person. Then we were at the International Blues Challenge, judging the Charlotte edition of that, and we're sitting there in a judge's seat. There's three judges, and they introduce us and, you know, have us talk to each other. I turn around and shake your hand. I was like, I'm Terry. You know, what is your name? You said, I'm John Tosco. That's the guy I need to meet, you know, that everybody's been telling me about. So that's how it happened. That's how I met you. And since then, I mean, that's been a few years ago. And since then, just watching the amazing evolution of what you've done, and it's grown tremendously. And it's such a big vital part to how Charlotte, North Carolina, because that's what the city we're focusing on today, Charlotte, North Carolina, here on Local Music Somewhere. And such a vital part of it, because not only have you given opportunities, but you bring such a unique presence. How did you get started in this?
Well, thank you, first of all. And, you know, it's been long and slow, very organic and very, you know, grassroots, this growth that's happened for literally almost 40 years. So back in my young days of being in my early to mid-20s, I was playing in a band full-time, and this was out in Denver, Colorado. I'm from North Carolina, but I was living out in Denver, Colorado, and it was a full-time gig for me for several years, where we had, I think in 3 years, we had like 2 weeks off. So it was like, we were very busy. We weren't getting rich, but we were doing pretty well. Country rock band. Yes. I had played in other bands before that, and I had played a variety of different genres because I love all styles of music. So, but I was doing this country rock band gig, and I'll just never forget, you know, it was mostly playing bars. We had some really nice gigs too, but I'll never forget going to a gig and on my way and just, you know, I said to myself, oh, I got to go play tonight. You know, when you get where you're not enjoying it, like you're dreading having to go do the gig, because it's just, you know, it got to be like a business. It was losing the joy of playing music. It was right about that time that my son was born. And my now ex-wife had a daytime job, 9 to 5, and I was on the opposite schedule. So it was really becoming clear it was either going to be family life or the band. It couldn't be both the way it was going for too long. So I moved back to North Carolina. We all did. And I started teaching guitar lessons, but I missed playing music, and I didn't want music to be the business of music.
Right.
I wanted the joy of music. So as I met musicians in Charlotte, I was inviting them over to my house for jam sessions and song circles. And it got to be a regular thing. Like every couple of months, John Tosco's having another music party in his home. The Tosco Music Party was born. And it wasn't just for musicians. It was for their spouses and their families, their kids, their friends. And it really—
it's definitely a community.
The community came together, and we soon outgrew my home and had to find people with larger homes and then an apartment clubhouse. Then we started taking donations to pay for renting a VFW building, started getting a PA system because we started getting so many people, we needed the microphones. And it just grew that way over the course of several years. In 1999, now we're celebrating our 25th year as a nonprofit. 99, we became a 501c3. In addition to doing these, what started as home concerts and sing-alongs and jam sessions, we also started giving out music, scholarships, music scholarships to young students who needed an instrument or needed help to pay for lessons. And this was just the community chipping in. It has continued to grow, and now we have these concerts that we still call Tosca Music Parties at Night Theater.
It's one of the best things I have ever seen.
It's like about 15 acts on average, doing one or two songs each, all different genres, and we have a house band where we do sing-alongs with the audience throughout the night.
Oh, yeah.
And the sing-alongs are also different styles of music, so we'll have a Motown song or a song from the 1940s or a country song or a pop tune, you know. So it's something for everyone.
And the audience, they get really involved. You know, they have their lyrics there, and it's they are part of the community.
Oh, yeah.
And the other thing is the artists are so unique. You don't just pick people because they're great. You pick artists because they're great and unique. First time that we were talking, you know, when we first met, I was telling you about this artist, and you were like, well, do they do something unique, or are they just good? Do they have this special instrument that they play? Or tell me more about that.
Well, I mean, first of all, there's so much talent right here in Charlotte. So it's
and it's grown a lot.
It's not hard to find those special entertainers and artists. We want something for everyone, and we want something very special, that wow factor, because it's most of our performers do one song at these shows. And speaking of the community part of it, at the beginning of the show, we ask everyone to stand up and turn around and introduce themselves to the people behind them. So, because we're going to be singing together, we kick off the show with a sing-along, and we do several throughout the evening. And at the very end of the night, we bring all the artists on stage and we do another closing sing-along with the audience. So it's right from the start. It's that connectedness, and it's not just the audience sitting passively listening to performers. It's very inclusive, and there is very participatory. So there's something very unique there. And the artists themselves, you know, say to me all the time, there's nothing like this anywhere else. We love this. I want to come back and do this again.
No, the only thing I could even say, even resemble, I came out of my first start in everything music, as far as the industry side, was in the Christian music industry. And we started off in gospel, and our company represented a lot of what they call the Gaither Homecoming Friends. And so it was like that, where they had these national artists that came together, and it started off kind of like what you're talking about. And they would just sing old hymns together on video, and these videos did really well. And I always loved that community, and I had missed that. And then when I saw your thing, it was like, it was that plus such a variety of music. It just wasn't, you know, one style. You have people like Mercury Carter, who's kind of R&B mixed with almost Bjork sometimes. And then you had Joey Santo, who is like a Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra kind of crooner, and you put him kind of with a big band, you know, on stage. Mm-hmm. You had the right instruments for that. And you have like a hip-hop, you know, rap pop singer like Chelsea Locklear, you know, on there as well, or blues artist like Jake Haldenvang. You just had such a variety of things on the program. And there would be soloists, there would be trios, and then full, you know, bands on stage. It was just incredible.
And we'll do unusual things too, like a bagpipe group or an a cappella group. So we'll have we had the spoon lady, who's a master of playing the spoons.
Everybody's seen her on social media.
Mongolian throat singers were on one of our shows. So it's things that are unusual and special like that. You know, we will have people say all the time, I wouldn't go to a whole concert of that, but to hear one song was really cool. Or even if it's like somebody might say, well, I'm not a bluegrass music fan, but those musicians were super talented, and to hear one song by them was very enjoyable. So, and I think a lot of people also, just even music they do listen to, a lot of folks have a very short attention span.
Sitting in
a full concert, even of an artist they really like, they get bored, or they get their mind goes somewhere else. But this is constantly every song something totally different.
And I think it's getting more like that every day. You see that, you know, they're artists now that are canceling their stadium tours or their, you know, arena tours. And it's part because, you know, overcrowded market. But a lot of it is, unless you have, you know, two or three different things on a program, it's just hard to get people to come out to that level. Plus, people love intimate settings now. Now, granted, your theater thing is not as intimate setting as, say, your open mic, but it still feels like an intimate setting because it's family.
And when we do that introduction at the beginning and we sing together, we can have 1,000 people in the venue and it still feels, and I treat it like the living room. That's the way I approach it. You know, it's check your ego at the door. It doesn't matter if you're a touring, and we have had national touring artists. We've had the Avett brothers and Rachel Platten and others. And we've also have a 7-year-old, you know, prodigy piano player, mm-hmm. or a 90-year-old, singer who is still amazing. I mean, so we've had all ages as well as all genres, and amateurs with professionals, but the amateurs are highly talented.
So. Oh, yeah. And something that I'll personally love about it also is I hear all these artists say that they want it to be about the music again and not always about the industry. And, you know, you are in an industry where you have to do so many things that sometimes can burn you out industry-wise to make it happen. And I've seen people lose kind of their love for music. This event is a great remedy for that because it is about the music.
Mm-hmm. And we have an intermission, and then again after the show, where the performers have tables in the lobby where the audience can meet the performers and talk to them and connect with them as well. So it's really a win-win thing that was not really ever a business plan. It was just something that evolved very organically.
But it has to come from somebody like you that I think actually loves people, you know, and loves community. Because like you said, it took a while for it to come together. But, you know, there are other people that could have started the way you did, because it's not an immediate vision. It's something that takes shape over time. Mm-hmm. But if they didn't have a love for community and didn't have a love for people and have that as the first thing, you know, with the music, it wouldn't have evolved in the way that it evolved. It evolved that way because of you and, you know, how you think. So with that, tell us more about, you know, Tosco Music overall, because you do so many things, including senior living facilities, don't you?
We do quite a few performances at senior centers and retirement communities. It started out as, again, volunteers just going, started during the holidays doing caroling at nursing homes. Okay. And it kind of grew from there. And now we actually put on over 100 events a year at about almost 30 different locations in Charlotte. Most of those are senior centers and retirement communities. We also do some festivals, private events, other public events where people reach out to us and say, we're having this festival. We need a bluegrass group, or we need a jazz trio for this cocktail party. The senior centers just want various entertainers to come most of the time to do music that is from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. That's kind of more in their era. But they're also open to trying other styles of music too that are new to them. We do that quite a lot, where we are able to provide paid opportunities for the performers and also connect them with the community as well.
Well, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. When a performer is on stage, because I feel you have a great handle on this, and it's something I like to talk about, what do you believe a performer's best way with connecting with an audience is?
Just being real and genuine and just being themselves. And it's not about trying to sell their CD or sell, you know, or put on any kind of a air about, you know, that's why I said check your ego at the door. It's just about being real. Like, you know, if that performer was just in their own living room, just playing, you know, with just a couple of friends, how they would be, that's how we want them on our stage. And that tends to be what we get, because that's the atmosphere that is set right from the start. Everybody is on equal, you know, levels, and it makes a difference. Absolutely. And the audience picks up on that. They know if you're being real. You know, when you look somebody in the eye and you're just being honest and real and genuine, people know. They can connect. And
they know if you think they're important.
Yeah. And if your mind is somewhere else, or you're where you're thinking about, you know, how you can sell yourself, or you're thinking about putting on, trying to make yourself seem special, more special than, you know, than you really are. They do pick up on that, you know, just being real. And I'll be honest with you, I'm being the host, I'm out in front of all these people in between every act, introducing them and talking to the audience. The only way I can avoid any stage fright or any kind of nervousness is to, again, also just be, you know, I think of this as, hey, we're just in my living room, so I'm going to be comfortable. And I might flub some words or forget to say something or whatever, but I'm just trying to be myself and just be genuine. And that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah. And yeah. It definitely overrides the perfection.
Yeah. Anything. People appreciate that.
Yeah. Let's talk about your single artist events that I've noticed more lately, mm-hmm. that you've done. How does that work?
Well, like I said earlier, it's usually somebody reaching out to us,
okay.
That says, we're having this event. Can you help us out? For example, this month, there's this wonderful place called Juneberry Ridge, and they have a summer concert series that we've been scheduling performers for the last several years. I think this is the fourth year doing it. And they want a variety of genres, so we'll bring in this tomorrow night, we're going to have a Beatles tribute band and Chelsea Locklear, okay. who you know, is a wonderful singer-songwriter from here in Charlotte. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to have Jake Haldenvang open up for a Red Hot Chili Peppers tribute band. It's usually that way. They just reach out to us. We find out what they want, what their budget is. We get the best performers we can find that fits that, and it's, like I said, it's win-win. They get what they need, we provide the paid opportunity for the performers. Our nonprofit takes 15% of whatever that is to help us with our admin costs. It just seems to really work and grow, and people know that for so many decades we've been doing these shows. We have a large database of musicians of all different genres, so we can really help people find what they're looking for.
That's a great asset to the community. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about this something that's pretty new to Charlotte that you created that has to do with the Fab Four, so we'll talk about that in just a few moments, but right now we're just going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. Thank you. Welcome back to Local Music Somewhere. In the studio today, we have John Tosco, and we're going to talk about a special event that he's brought to Charlotte for a few years now. But before we get into that, one of the things that we still want to touch on is that you have a scholarship program for young artists. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. So, we love to nurture young talent. And one way we do it is we have our monthly open mic at the Evening Muse. This is where people would say, well, we love these big shows, but we miss the days when you were doing it in your living room and anybody could show up and play. Well, when the Evening Muse opened up 23 years ago, we started doing our open mic once a month.
And it's an incredible open mic.
It's so much, it's like the larger shows. It's a lot of different genres in one evening and a lot of different ages. We have a lot of young people.
And I've seen some people get their start there.
Yeah, I've found performers there that I bring onto the night theater stage. So that's one way that we are able to provide a professional setting for a young and sometimes very young performer. And then we also give out music scholarships. Last year, we gave out $12,000 to about 24 different students from all the way through young adults. And so that's something that's been growing more and more.
What do the scholarships cover?
They cover music lessons or a music camp, purchasing an instrument or repairing an instrument, anything really related to the music career of a young artist.
Getting them started.
Yeah, it's whatever they need. It's pretty open-ended. We just want to help them any way we can.
Yeah, and the people mm-hmm. you find. I mean, I see these young kids, and some of them young, like they're probably younger than 9 or 10 sometimes. You know, I see them get in there and this powerful talent. I was like, where does he seek out and, you know, find these people? Because this is just the start of where they are. Think of where they could be in 5 years is with their talent, with the right nurturing.
You get things rolling. People start to spread the word, you know, word of mouth. And it's like, music teachers, oh, I need to get this student in front of John Tosco on that open mic stage, or we need to apply for this scholarship. And all this information is on our website, toscomusic.org. So, it's really wonderful to see how we can make a difference in young people's lives. It really is special.
And repeat that website one more time, even though we have it in writing.
Mm-hmm. It's toscomusic.org, TOSCO, Tosco Music.
Very cool. So make sure you go there, because this man gives more opportunities for artists than probably anybody I personally know. Just the amount of things that he's involved in that is so many levels that I've seen people grow through this.
Well, I just want to say I appreciate those kind words. It does take a village, and we have our donors that make all the difference. They are the ones that are funding these scholarships and funding our programs, and I'm just so grateful to them, because there are people that believe in this, in what we do, and that's whether they give us $25 a year or $2,500 a year. And so that makes all the difference.
And they'll be able to see how if other people are interested in joining that, they'll be able to see that through your site.
Correct? Exactly.
Okay. And there's a new thing that you've just, in recent years, I think you told me you were on your fifth one coming up this year, which is a brand new festival to Charlotte. And I think it's just brought so many people here, because not only do Charlotte people attend this, but people make their travel plans from other cities to actually come to this. And it's called Fab Fest. And it's like a, I think it's a one full day and two nights. Am I That's correct right. in that? Mm-hmm. And you have tribute bands there. You have also local and regional artists that are playing covers of the Beatles. Do you have a competition with that as
we
well?
We do. We have a Beatles cover song contest.
And do you still have the Beatles yoga? Because that's something I remember.
That's right. Okay. That's
so
right.
That's something else unique with this. So tell us more.
Well, I grew up with the Beatles like so many people. That's my earliest memory is seeing them on the Ed Sullivan Show. And, as a teenager, I was just so into playing all their songs. And so when we did these music parties, Beatles music was always part of it. And it was a little over 20 years ago, we decided to make one of the music parties a Beatle theme. So we called it then the Tosco Music Beatles Tribute. Same format as what we discussed already with all the different genres doing one song, but it was always a Beatles song. And then of course the sing-alongs. So you would not only hear bands doing songs the way you've always heard them by the Beatles, but you would hear a bluegrass group doing their version, or a jazz trio doing their version, or an a cappella group. So really cool different takes on Beatles songs as well as the faithful versions.
Such amazing songs.
And it for years has been our most popular show by far. So in 2019, we decided to expand it into a weekend festival that we call Fab Fest. And what we do is we keep the Tosca Music Beatles tribute, which happens on Friday night, October 4th this year. And then on Saturday night, also at the Night Theater, we bring in a Beatles tribute band. We've had the Fab Four, Brit Beat, and this year we're bringing in a Paul McCartney tribute called Live and Let Die, which is like the nation's number one Paul McCartney tribute band. So that'll be cool on Saturday night, October 5th. Now, during the day on Saturday, we will have a full day of everything Beatles at the Parr Center at Central Piedmont Community College. It starts off at 10 in the morning with Beatles yoga. Now, we have some of this outside and some inside the center. It's a beautiful new facility right in the heart of Uptown Charlotte, the Parr Center is. We'll have multiple stages. So we'll have a Beatles open mic. We have a Beatles cover song contest. And then we will have Beatles bands playing as well. And then we also will have bingo and trivia. And we also have authors who have written books on the Beatles doing presentations. We have a huge Beatles art contest. Last year, we had over 60 pieces of art and paintings and ceramics, all inspired by the music of the Beatles. It is and highly professional artists. It's a juried competition. We gave out over $3,000 in cash prizes for that as well. And then, of course, we have the marketplace with the vendors and the memorabilia. And so it's just joyful, all these Beatle fans. And it's so wonderful to see, you know, all ages, because you've got the boomers that, like me, that grew up with the Beatles, and you've got their kids and their grandkids. We even have the family fun room, arts and crafts around Yellow Submarine and Octopus's Garden, you know, for the kids, songs and games for them. So it's just a wonderful weekend. And like you said, this is something that is now bringing in folks from other states as well to Charlotte. So it's growing every year, and
they're really excited. Not a ton of Beatles festivals out there.
No.
And it was such an important group to culture, to songwriting, to the arts. You know, they had, you know, a few different looks, but they were such identifiable looks. You look at them, you know, in the early stages compared to, you know, towards the end of their career, and they were just such identifiable icons and influenced
absolutely
a lot of people, not only in fashion, but then their songwriting. This is the lesson that I try to tell younger artists now that are songwriting. In the younger generations, a lot of times they know a few things. They'll know video games, you know, they'll know certain, they know a wide variety of songs. But when, other than a few things, and there's a couple more to list, but really they're, to get out there and experience so many different cultures is key, and read so many different books, and not just get stuck, you know, if you think social media, not just get stuck there, but have all these influences. As an artist, it brings so much to the table, and they were perfect examples of that. You know, there would be things that would be inspired by, you know, a Middle Eastern country, or would be inspired by something they've seen in Europe, or something was coming to America, and they all contributed to the songs that they played. So it was their songwriting, but they would add, you know, musical instruments that you weren't used to hearing, and different types of sound, added such a depth to it, and it was one of the things that made them legendary. And there's so many lessons that artists can learn just by watching the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
And you see how they've impacted people around the country. So when you have a festival that's a tribute to that, it doesn't matter the age. It's such a thing that I, you know,
culturally,
it impacts. And so they want to come to town just for that, because somebody's paying tribute to that. They know it will be fun, and they know it will be big.
Now, there is a festival in New York, and there's one in Chicago and one in Indiana, but we're the only Beatles festival in the Southeast.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's
a good territory.
Yeah, it's something very special that, like I said, is growing, and we're really excited about it. So, first weekend in October, we come.
So you've moved it from the summer to the fall.
Yeah,
now,
because, like I said, some of it is outside, and we were doing it in July, and it was just too darn hot. So we're moving it to the fall. Also, we had people say, look, I'm on vacation, I'm gone that in July, you know. So we figured we would be able to make it easier for people to attend if it's in the fall.
And it's also a good time for me. So I hope to finally be there this year. I really do.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming and sitting down with us. Is there anything else that you would like to say to our listeners, maybe artists or music fans listening?
Well, I just want to thank you and say to the folks listening that, you know, like I said earlier, this has been a grassroots thing, mostly word of mouth over many years. That's how it's grown. And when people get excited about something, they share it with someone else. That's what helps support the music and the artists.
Right.
And I'm just grateful for that, to you and to the community.
Well, as a community of musicians, that just the music community, I think that we're absolutely grateful for the things that you've done, because you've opened many platforms. So thanks for being here with us. And
thanks, Terry,
for tuning in to Local Music Somewhere here at rbeats.com and our focus on Charlotte, North Carolina, with, again, our special guest, John Tosco. Go check out his website and find out what you can about the Tosco Music Party, about contributing to what he does, about the open mics, and especially Fab Fest coming up this year in October. Thank you. See you next time.
Always remember, with you, we are. Our Beats podcasting crew wants to take this moment to thank you for listening to Our Beats Radio and Media Streaming Network.